This is a Sports Radio 740 podcast on sportsradio740.com.
We are actually, what, 3 days away from an actual game being played at Riverwalk Stadium?
Baseball. We're
gonna
do some collegiate top 10 caliber baseball at Riverwalk Stadium. So it's an exciting, exciting game. The Max Capital City Classic between Auburn and Alabama. It's our nice soft opening with our largest crowd ever, hopefully. So it's just a different type of atmosphere. You know, our Biscuits games are all about the fun, the promotions and everything like that. You know, we have great players. But when we have the Max Capital City Classic, we have the pep bands, we have cheerleaders, we have the mascots all over the place, whether it's Big Mo or Aubie or Big Al, they're all over the stadium. So it's just a different atmosphere. It really feels like a big-time collegiate football game almost with the way everything goes, only it's a baseball and it's a downtown Montgomery.
And how many tickets are left? Like four?
Not very many. Yeah.
Enough for the three of us to still go.
That's pretty much it.
We have great general admission seats. The beauty of it is, and we're essentially sold out of reserved seats. But if you get a general admission lawn seat, we will have the boxcar buffet in center field open to the public, so you can sit in dead center field. We have picnic tables out there. It's not like you're going to be forced to sit on the lawn. But
it's not going to be dead, by the way. No. I know what you mean by dead center, but okay. It's going to be great out there.
There's going to be a lot of people out there.
It's going to be a little left of dead center.
Exciting center field.
So again, still great seats, great tickets available. It's an event you don't want to miss just because of all the pageantry that goes along with it. You don't want to be there when your team wins and you get to rub the other team's nose in the face.
Which is exactly what happens in this state anytime these two teams play each other.
I mean, that's what the rivalry's all about.
It is exactly what the rivalry's all about. And what's great, okay, so I've always wondered this part because we talk about the Capital City Classic, and I know that when I lived in Birmingham and Huntsville, I heard about it all the time. How did this thing get started? Because, I mean, again, I know that you've been here for a while, but, I mean, how did this all get started with the Capital City Classic?
It was really just talking with the two schools. Way back when the stadium was first getting built, you know, there was talks about the SEC tournament moving from Hoover down here. Riverwalk's not quite big enough for that. You have to have at least 13,000 fixed seats to do that, so we weren't large enough for that. But that got a conversation started between the two schools. And their whole goal with this game is, look, it's a midweek game. We get to play a high-caliber opponent. Mm-hmm. It's technically not an SEC game.
Right.
And it gets them into a very important market for them. So for recruiting, for you know admissions, whatever it may be, like they need help with admissions. But for recruiting, if you're a top-tier baseball player in the South, you've got a lot of options. You got Florida State. You mm-hmm. got LSU. You got Mississippi State. You got all these schools around, including Auburn, Alabama. It just helps them push that, hey, we're not just football schools. We have high-caliber baseball as well. Here's what you could possibly be participating in, playing in front of your hometown team. In front of a sold-out stadium.
And again, Auburn has players from Pike Road. They have players from Montgomery. They have players on here that this is kind of like a big home for game for them. And you add in all the mascots, the bands, and all that, it really does kind of have like a Japanese baseball feel. Like you have, you know, Thundersticks and all that other stuff that you say to make it more of a party and not just the baseball game.
Yeah, it's a bigger collegiate baseball game than what you're probably used to. I mean, again, if you go to Plainsman Park, they have a great field up there in Auburn. They have a great field up in Alabama. Even there's no pep bands.
Right.
So it's just adds a little bit extra to it. If you're a big fan of one of these two schools, there's something for you at this game.
Absolutely. And that's in now Chris, and you've been here for 3 years, right? 4 years?
Yeah, this will be my fourth.
So with you coming in and seeing how big this game was, were you shocked at how many people come to Riverwalk for this game alone?
I mean, it's the biggest crowd of the year, arguably. Yeah. We're not going to get a bigger one. And last year, we broke the record at Riverwalk Stadium for, what was it, 7,200?
7,605. And we're actually outpacing that this year.
Right.
So, again, get your tickets.
Yeah, so that's pretty exciting. And when that place is packed, I mean, I travel around with the Biscuits. I go to all the stadiums. There's no atmosphere that better than that one. And Birmingham sells out all the time. They get about 8,500.
Yeah.
Not even close to what this place is like full. So, again, tickets are going fast. Let's go get them. Go down and join us.
And what is sold out for you guys? What is that?
Technically, in terms of physical seats and the seating bowl, we have about 4,800.
Okay.
So then we have suite level, we have picnic areas, and then we have lawn, which we can fit about 2,000 in the lawn and picnic areas. So really anything over 7, we consider a sellout, but technically the number is like 6,400, 6,500.
Wow. Yeah, you're definitely going to go out. You're gonna So for my co-host on the Fallout, which we've been picking on him for this game, about this game for the last week.
Scratch.
Don't screw it up. That's the thing. Okay, see, he listens to Cast and Blast before we come on every single Saturday, and he's like, Joe, I missed the Biscuits radio show. I said, okay, fine. We're going to talk about the Capital City Classic today, and guess what? We're going to make sure you don't screw this up. Do not screw this up at all. Now, here's my question for you, because last year we had O.J. Howard. Mm-hmm. Can you say who all the big name that's going to be throwing out yet?
I can say that there's going to be a future NFL player.
Nice.
Yes.
Nice.
And I can say that there's some new faces that'll be there as well.
And not Russell. I mean, Russell will be doing it, but it's not going to be like that.
Is he not going to Pro Day?
No, he actually missed it this time.
Okay, well then.
I told him to. I tried to get him
involved.
There'll
still be another NFL, but not two now.
Okay, got you. All right, well, good. And the baseballs. Let me ask you about the baseballs are sweet.
They're
really good looking. Who designed those?
That would be our multimedia specialist, Mr. Jared McCarthy.
Yes.
So, again, it's a kind of tradition with this game that our giveaway is a logo baseball.
Yes.
So on my shelf in my office, I have 9 straight baseballs. Actually, now I have 10 because I already have one. But
lucky.
10 baseballs, all with different designs, with the Auburn colors, with the Alabama colors, with the date in big, bold letters. So you have kind of that keepsake to remember the game by. And obviously provided by our great friends over at Max Credit Union. So, again, get there early. If you have your tickets, good job. Now you got to get there early to get the logo baseball.
Absolutely. So when we come back, remember, you can go biscuitsbaseball.com where you get the tickets.
Absolutely.
Biscuitsbaseball.com. Russell and myself, we're actually going to be broadcasting from out there on Tuesday afternoon as well. Show's going to begin at 2 o'clock, and we're going to be going all the way to 6. So as you start walking in, you'll be able to come over and talk to Sports Radio 740. If you go follow Chris Adams Wall on Twitter, he might tweet out the picture of the whole notebook that he's got over there with Alabama and Auburn stuff on it. Before we get into talking about opening day, you did a ton of research on the Capital City Classic, on Alabama and Auburn. Auburn's a top 10 team. Alabama's a top 25 team. So that I don't feel bad for not asking you a single question.
Yes, thanks, Scott. Oh, man. Max Capital City Classic preview and, yeah, no players. Just a couple of guys to pay attention to. Chandler Taylor is a guy for Alabama. He's from Montgomery, and he's already bashed 9 home runs this year. He leads the Tide, who are doing pretty well. They started the season 9-0. They're at Tennessee this weekend, so hopefully they can keep their good season going. Another Chandler Avant is a guy who's hitting .391, team leader with 26 RBIs. The better team right now, at least, though, is Auburn, obviously. I mean, as Scott mentioned, this week they're 9th in the nation. They started the season 15-0. They're at Kentucky this weekend. Just a couple of names. Brendan Venter hitting .405.
Mashing.
Steven Williams is just a freshman. He's a catcher. 5 home runs. Tied for the team lead in that, and 28 RBIs. And then Brett Wright as well, also has 5
home
runs.
And Steven Williams was voted one of the top, I think, 100 freshmen in baseball this year as well.
Sounds like maybe top 10.
Yeah, and if you didn't see Chandler Taylor perform at the Home Run Derby in Omaha after the College World Series, go on YouTube and watch it.
Go check
Dude
it out.
Straight mashed.
All right.
He
got
mashed.
It. Yeah, all right, well, that's the preview.
There you go. See, you didn't do all the work
and
for
you
nothing.
You didn't even talk about the coaches.
Oh, true.
Coach Brad Bohannon coming over to Alabama from Auburn and, got off to that 9-0 start. I think it was the best undefeated start for an Alabama head coach since like 1920 or something like that. So it's an exciting time. There's an extra added element to that rivalry with Coach Bo coming over from Auburn. But again, very, very friendly staffs. Both guys, Butch Thompson has become a person who I always enjoy getting the chance to talk and meet with. So we're looking forward to the game. And like Chris said, a lot of great baseball coming on.
Absolutely. So we have that happening on Tuesday. Then on Thursday, we have a real opening day. Like, it's not like that opening night stuff that we did for so long.
Yeah. Every team is going to be playing for the first time in a long time.
In March.
I know, March, right? Yeah. And now there's a reason for them starting early, right? It's all like travel days or something. I'm trying to remember all the rules for it, but they started early so that they get like an extra travel day at some point in time in the season.
I think so. I mean, normally the season would start what, April 3rd, April 2nd, something like that. Yeah. So yeah, I guess they get a couple more travel days for their short season of 162
games. The way that it always happened would be, and again, this is the nerd coming out in me. It would be you would have the Final Four on Saturday, Sunday you would have WrestleMania and opening night. And then Monday would be the national championship and opening day for baseball. Yes. Like that's how it used to be. But now you're doing it on a Thursday, which is so great because just a couple Thursdays ago, everybody was off because they were watching the NCAA tournament. So it's like another reason to take off work.
That's right.
See, it's all day baseball. We can all have fun and we can get going on that. So we do have Major League Baseball starting. And I mean, we start with the Rays, obviously, with that team that's taking place. What do you guys actually think about what's going to be happening with this team when Archer takes the mound on opening day?
It's going to be different. I mean, look, there's nobody out there saying that the Rays are going to win the World Series this year. But I think all people are going to be looking for is the development or the young guys coming up. And how does Faria bounce back from kind of a rough spring? How does Snell do now that he's essentially the number two? Mm-hmm. You know, how's Eovaldi do coming off of Tommy John? I mean, there's a lot of questions that if you're a Rays fan, you still have a lot of reasons to watch the Rays. You know, wins or losses aside, I mean, it's going to be a fun year, and there's going to be a lot of great players. Carlos Gomez is now on the team, yes. Which any team he's on, you should be watching anyway because mm-hmm. he's just fun.
Dude is great in center field. Guy, so much fun.
And how's that bullpen day going to do?
Yeah.
How is that going to hold up? This is the first season since they've been the Rays where Evan Longoria will not be part of the team, which is going to be interesting. That's going to be a big void that Matt Duffy's going to have to fill. I don't know. We're going to see a lot of young guys come up, guys like Jake Bowers and Willie Adames, who have been here in the recent memory here in Montgomery, will likely make their Major League debut. It's an exciting time, but that AL East is just so stacked with the Yankees, the Red Sox. Blue Jays will probably be okay, and the Orioles just signed a former Biscuit, Alex Cobb, and he's slated to be the team's ace.
What is it
signed
with,
like 2 days ago?
What is it with teams that they'll go into an in-division rival? Like, you know, you look at Jason Hayward. He was a Cardinal. He signed with the Cubs. You have Alex Cobb was a Ray. He signed with the Orioles.
Dexter Fowler.
Dexter Fowler.
Cardinals.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Like, is there something about the familiarity with the team, or is it like the familiarity with the division? Or
I have a theory.
No, you go with your theory. We saw the hand motion. I just didn't know because dude got paid the other day.
He did.
He got what? Was it $80
million? I think it was maybe 50.
Yeah, it was 50.
Okay,
yeah, 50.
50. My bad. I shorted you $30 million, Alex. I'm sorry about that, buddy. He's probably going, yeah, it should have been $80 million, as a matter of fact.
Making that Kiermaier money, though.
But is the division automatically Yankees-Red Sox? Like, are we just going to go ahead and just hand this to him before the season
starts? I think
so.
I mean, the Yankees got Giancarlo Stanton to go along with Aaron Judge. The thing is, if Aaron Judge has an off year, which I don't know if it's going to be off. I don't expect him to bash 52 home runs again. But even if he does, you still have Giancarlo Stanton, Gary Sanchez, Didi Gregorius, Greg Bird. I mean, the list goes on and on. They got Brandon Drury to play some third base, and they even signed Neil Walker. Like, this team is going to be fine. They have a great pitching staff. Luis Severino, Masahiro Tanaka, CC Sabathia. When Sonny Gray is fourth in the rotation, there's not a whole lot to worry about. And then you look at the bullpen with Chapman and Robertson and Betances and Tommy Canely when he's your fourth best reliever. Yeah. It's going to be very tough to take down the Yankees. Quite frankly, I think the only team that has a chance at doing that in the American League are the defending World Series champions, the Astros, who I have going back to the World Series. But the AL East is going to be loaded, and we know the Red Sox got J.D. Martinez, and they
finally
won the division last year without him. I don't think that's a huge addition because this guy has not played in a big market yet in his career, so we'll see how he does with the Boston pressure. He's also not that young. I think he's like 30, 31. Yeah. But someone had to sign him, so Boston was like, I guess we'll do this, because they're not going to go after Manny Machado.
Well, and they tried so many times.
You're getting a guy who's been playing at Chase Field in Arizona, which is not exactly one of the best hitters' parks, going to Fenway, which is all of a sudden like, oh, that's a really short wall out there.
Just hit a pop fly.
Yeah,
and boom,
I mean, we'll see
how
he does with the pressure of the big market stuff. But yeah, I mean, I like how I say, if Aaron Judge has an off year, it's what, hit 280 with 40 homers? Is that an off year?
Yeah. Well, even if, I mean, he's been leading the world in strikeouts, so the Yankees could even send him down. But then you still could put Stanton in right field. Aaron Hicks is still out there. Brett Gardner. It's not
Ellsbury.
Ellsbury,
forget about
maybe
Jacoby.
The worst signing of all time. You still got him kind of chilling on the bench. Aaron Boone is someone to watch, though, because the moment the Yankees lose three straight, everyone's going to say, why did you hire the analyst from Sunday Night Baseball?
The Yankees are going to be saying the exact same thing Red Sox fans have been saying for years, is Aaron bleeping Boone.
And let's not forget, the Red Sox have a new manager, too, Alex Cora. That's going to be his first year at the helm in Beantown. I like the Yankees and the Red Sox finish first and second, and then 3 through 5 is anybody's guess. I'd love to see the Rays in there at 3, maybe challenging for a wild card spot, but I'd temper your expectations a little bit.
Here's my bold prediction for the AL East.
Yes.
Tim Beckham, breakout season.
Okay.
Tim Beckham's
going to
have...
With the O's.
Yeah.
And I believe he and Manny Machado are going to switch positions. Beckham's going to play third, and Manny Machado's going to play short.
Manny's been wanting to play short, hasn't he?
He has, yeah.
He's been, now, is that something because, again, he's supposed to be a free agent after this year, right?
Right, I think so.
So he's trying to make himself more appealing and make more money somewhere else for something along those lines.
And, of course, Aaron Judge got in trouble with Major League Baseball the other day because they were at batting practice, Yankees and Orioles, and he said to Manny Machado, you look really good in pinstripes. Easy, Aaron. Easy.
Oh, so he can't recruit, but literally people are putting billboards up right now to try to get LeBron James. You know what I'm saying?
Let's move on to the AL Central, though.
Well, that's the question, because you mentioned the Astros. You already got them on the West. And
I think the Tribe is probably going to be the team in the Central. The team that team to watch, they were one of the wild card teams last year, but they've reloaded a little bit. The Minnesota Twins, because Byron Buxton is going to be coming in hot. He had a great second half to last year. Miguel Sano, Max Kepler, all these former Chattanooga lookouts. They traded for Jake Odorizzi.
Yep.
They got Lance Lynn in the free agent market.
Lomo.
And Lomo, right. A guy who hit, 30-something home runs last year. Got him from the Rays. So I like the Twins finish second. White Sox, who knows? Casey Gillespie hopefully will make his Major League debut, another former Biscuit. The Tigers are going to be maybe the worst team in baseball. I actually feel terrible for Miguel Cabrera. I was looking up his numbers last year, though. He did not have a very good season. He's going to be 35 on April 18th.
Well, they pitch around him. Because he has nobody.
Right, because
he
it's had you and me and Scott.
He had J.D. Martinez, and then they trade him away, and he's like, well, crap, I have some single-A player now.
Ian Kinsler was traded as well. They have Jamer Candelario, who was a Tennessee Smoky a couple of years ago. Jose Iglesias, a pretty good shortstop, but this team is going to be at the bottom. And then the Royals, who knows? They lost Eric Hosmer, who's their big leader, re-signed Mike Moustakas. I don't know. I like the Indians at the top, though, with the best voice in all of baseball, Tom Hamilton, and then I like the Twins to finish second and vie for a wild card.
So you think do you guys think it would be Twins versus Red Sox for the wild card game?
That's what I would say. I think Oakland is the other team to watch. They signed Jonathan Lucroy at some point, and I was very confused by that because Lucroy is a pretty good player, and Oakland just doesn't ever have money. But they've been developing a lot of these younger guys, and I think that's the team to watch in the West.
Yeah.
Don't forget the Angels either, of course, with Ohtani. Yeah.
The Indians are definitely the pick, but I personally like the Twins just because they have such young talent. I could easily see the Twins and the Indians both racking up 92-plus wins. Whoever doesn't win that division should be the wild card with the Red Sox.
So that's the AL part of it. Now, again,
Can we talk about Ohtani real quick?
Yeah, absolutely, but they don't even know if he's going to be in AAA or if he's going to be down.
That's what I was going to say.
He may be down playing in Montgomery.
Wow, he's that good, huh? Yeah. He's going to Salt Lake to play for the Bees or whatever it is. Yeah.
If he's not in the major or on the opening day Major League roster, then that's A, it's a waste of money, but B, I'd be incredibly shocked.
Spring training is
spring training, but it's still, this is a talent that, I mean, when Ichiro came over, it was like, okay, you're now the rookie of the year and the MVP in your rookie year. I mean, this guy's better than Ichiro.
Yeah.
I mean, he doesn't have the contact. He throws 103 and hits 450-foot dingers.
Speaking of Ichiro, back with the Mariners.
He is back with the Mariners. Yeah. Did you see the picture the other day that Seattle tweeted out? It was Ken Griffey Jr., Edgar Martinez, and Ichiro all sitting down talking to the media at the same time, and you're just like, oh my God, the history right there.
That's great.
Those.
And I think that team has the longest playoff drought in baseball, so something to watch for there. They have not made the playoffs since 2001.
No. And they got D. Gordon as well.
Nelson Cruz, Robinson Cano, they're always loaded, and they also have former Biscuit Mike Marjama, who's going to be the backup catcher there.
And Taylor Motter.
If King Felix could actually stay healthy, I mean, heck, he got hit with a line drive during spring training. And so that's a problem with them as well.
This team is constantly trading away their blue chip prospects, though. Like Tyler O'Neill, Southern League MVP 2 years ago in 2016. They traded him for a bag of chips last year, and now he's in the Cardinals organization and will probably make his Major League debut this year.
But
St.
hey,
Louis.
The guy they got for him will probably be pitching in AAA this year. So.
They do. Well, that's my point. We don't judge anybody
Silver
else
lining.
Based on spring training, but every single time this guy took the mound in spring training, people have done nothing but just break down every single throw and every single swing and everything right. he does.
It's different, but again, he's a once in a generation type talent. Again, maybe I'm just biased because I want him to be good because yeah. I want to see this work because I want to see Brendan McKay come through the race system and do the exact same thing.
Don't forget Mike Trout. wait, he plays. Totally forgot.
Poor guy's never won a playoff game. He's been to the playoffs once, and they got swept by the Royals.
But again, I go back to Junior and Edgar and Ichiro. I mean, did Ichiro win a championship with the Yankees? Or
no.
So he
Ichiro has never won a World
those
Series.
Those three have played, all great, all going to be future Hall of Famers. None of them have a ring.
Correct.
None of them have a ring
Correct.
At all. But with
Big Unit got one.
Well, yeah, Big Unit got one because he went to Arizona
right.
after a little short stop in Houston. Mm-hmm. But you look at Ohtani and... Is this a day where literally he could pitch, and then the very next day they want him as as the DH?
Yeah.
Is that feasible? Are we talking about
that's why they
him
give him
the
all
field?
The money. Yeah.
Bill Simmons keeps talking about, oh man, like this fantasy baseball is crazy. He's either the same player or he's like a pitcher and a hitter, whatever. So
no,
I don't know
in
that.
The league I was in,
it's interesting,
yeah,
right?
In
I don't know
league,
what it's like in your league.
Yeah, in my league, it had his name and had pitcher in parentheses, and his name
there
and
you
hitter.
Go.
So you
so
couldn't get him for both.
Two separate players. Wow.
Exactly. He's two separate players all in one person.
Interesting.
Now can we swap to the NL?
Yeah, we should probably go to the National League, huh? No DH. Goodbye.
No DH,
yeah.
So we don't have to worry about Ohtani coming down there.
Now we duck strategy.
Yeah.
Real baseball.
That's right. The man's game in there. Let's start in the West, though, because we were already out in the West.
Okay.
You have Dodgers. You have Giants. Giants have went kind of the Yankees route where they got a bunch of good players that were good at one time. We just don't know if they're going to be good now. A
couple of players on the wrong side of 30. Evan Longoria
yes.
being one of them, former Biscuit and Ray, and Andrew McCutchen, the 2013 NL MVP and former leader of the Pittsburgh Pirates, out there with Buster Posey. I mean, the thing with the Giants, I love the Giants. I just love the way Bruce Bochy manages and that team. Like, what is it? It's 2018, so it's about time for them to win again.
It's an even year.
So
yeah.
they will probably have a good season. Their big problem in 2016 when they were mounting that comeback against the Cubs was their bullpen,
yep.
which still isn't very good. They
nope.
have Mark Melancon, who's their closer, but he was the guy who blew that game against the Cubs. I still like the Dodgers in this division. Diamondbacks came on strong last year. The
because
Rockies
of JD
were
Martinez.
Good because of
yeah.
JD Martinez.
Yes.
Right, but they got Paul Goldschmidt, always A.J. Pollock. And the Rockies made the playoffs too last year.
They did.
So you can't forget about that. And the Padres got Eric Hosmer, so we'll never see him again.
So question for you. Can you tell me as of right now who the starting center fielder is for the San Francisco Giants? This is what I'm talking about, how crazy it is at looking at this team's roster right now.
Well, is it not McCutchen? Is he going to play right?
It is. They have Andrew and right.
Okay.
They have Hunter Pence in left.
Okay.
Austin Jackson.
Yeah.
Austin
the journeyman
Jackson,
who's
yes.
played for everybody but the Biscuits. Yeah. Former Yankee farmhand.
He's going to be the center fielder for that team.
It's great.
Well, Brandon Belt, like, again, he's a solid first baseman, but he just never gets any appreciation because of Goldschmidt being in the league, and now you look at what the Dodgers have at first base, and you keep going through. I mean, the whole first base side on the NL West is stacked.
Oh, yeah. And that infield's been playing with each other forever, besides Longoria. I mean, you got Panic at second and Brandon Crawford.
Yeah.
And again, Bochy at the helm. I think the Giants have a good shot at maybe being a wild card team, but I don't think that anybody's going to top the Dodgers.
No.
Justin Turner's entire arm could have fallen off by that hit by pitch, and they would still win 98 games this year. So.
But that division is stacked.
It's the power of the beard.
It's a good division, but
it's the power of the beard.
You just if you look at that Dodgers lineup, it's just there's no way they don't win 95 games.
Everybody's
right.
like you look at every single player and you go, God, he's
all-star,
sick.
All-star,
yeah, he's
all-star,
sick.
All-star.
And then you
all-star.
Bring in Matt Kemp as a veteran
yeah.
leader coming back to LA as
don't
well.
Forget about Matt
so,
Kemp.
So I mean you just that thing is stacked. I mean, but what about the NL Central? I mean,
Central's good too.
I mean, again, normally it's been Cardinals are the Cubs, but you also have to look at the Brewers now.
I mean, if I asked you point blank range right now, did the St. Louis Cardinals make the playoffs last year? You'd probably say yes, but they did not.
They did not
make the playoffs. They are heavily favored to, well, not heavily favored, but from what I've been reading, to they're projected to win the NL Central. Now, yeah. I think the Cubs are probably going to do it myself, and I think the one challenger would be the Milwaukee Brewers, who reloaded. They've got Ryan Braun, Lorenzo Cain, and Christian Yelich in the outfield. That might be the best outfield in the majors. Mm-hmm. I don't know who's pitching for them.
That's the problem.
But Josh Hader. Brent Suter.
They also have Eric Thames.
Yes.
Who is a big bopper. Got straight out of Korea.
His biceps are about as big as your chest.
You're right.
I mean, God is huge.
Orlando Arcia. I mean, they're a very good offensive team. We'll see how they... And then they made that great Sandlot video the other day.
Oh, awesome.
Recreating that famous scene. And Stephen Vogt is on that team, too. Another former Biscuit.
Yep. Yeah. Again,
one of your favorite Biscuits of all time.
Oh, he's a great guy. Yeah. A fantastic guy. But yeah, I think the Brewers are the one team to challenge the Cubs, but it's still the Cubbies. They still got Bryant. They still got Rizzo. They still have an amazing starting rotation. Now they've added Yu Darvish. So yeah, I think the Cardinals, there's people picking them, but I think they'll kind of taper off pretty quickly when the Cubs and Brewers just strike hot.
All right. As we're wrapping up going around, I mean, the NL East is basically the Nationals. I mean,
shout out to the Reds and Pirates as well.
Oh, yeah, yeah. You guys are having a season, too. Yeah, y'all are playing 162 losses. But we're looking at those two at the NL East, and yes, the Nationals are the obvious pick. The Braves obviously are going to get better, but, I mean, this thing is the Nationals all the way because the Marlins have already thrown in the towel.
If the Mets can get their pitching back, maybe, but yeah. There's nobody to compete with the Nationals there.
The Mets have some interesting names. I mean, Adrian Gonzalez is their first baseman, who was good not that long ago, I feel but again, Mets are where careers go to die. You look at Mo Vaughn, Roberto Alomar, all these players.
Yeah.
I mean, Adrian Gonzalez is there. They signed Todd Frazier. They still have Cespedes out there, but again, it's the pitching. The whole staff went down last year. But if Syndergaard stays healthy, DeGrom, you got Steven Matz as well. I mean, nobody expected the Mets to make the World Series when they did in 2015. Maybe they go on another run. Philly is a good team to watch, very young. And they signed Jake Arrieta. I don't know what that's going to do for them. The Marlins are going to be terrible, as we know.
Yeah.
And then the Braves, I don't know, man. How are you feeling, Joe?
I think there's a lot more hope. I mean, that's the part about it is there's a lot of hope. And we've had 740 listeners that are upset about Acuna going down. I'm like, look, that's just baseball. I mean, that's like throwing a franchise tag on a quarterback, man. I mean, you wouldn't give like Le'Veon Bell getting so upset about it. Look, the franchise tag is there for a reason. You use it to however you need to, and it's going to save you money. Go for it.
Yeah.
My biggest fear for them is bullpen and trying to solidify the starting pitching. I don't believe in Julio Teheran as an ace of this team. I really think more Foltynewicz is the ace of the team. But again, Julio's got like a sub-1 ERA right now in spring training. Which again, do we even judge spring training when it comes to these players or not? So I think that they have a potential. I think that if they are in it in July, around the All-Star break, you'll be looking at them talking about being buyers of these players that are on the end of their one-year deals. Mm-hmm. I still think next year is going to be a better year because, again, I think that this may be the Nationals' last shot.
This is the best minor league system there is in baseball, too. So if you're saying if they're in it in July, I mean, you can call some of these guys up or
you can trade away.
You can trade them away.
And
exactly.
That's going to be the fun thing is that the East is pretty weak, and so there's going to be a lot of teams in it. Unless the Nationals just come out and run away with it nonstop, there could be four or five teams fairly close, including the Marlins. Yeah. I mean, as bad as they are, but that's just how bad this division is. So, yeah, there could be teams buying that you would think, like, okay, they might break 500, but they're still buying because they have a shot.
Well, and you look at players that are on their last year of their deals, and the way the Braves like to draft is, again, that's the reason why they drafted Kyle Wright. That's the same reason why they drafted Dansby Swanson. That's the same reason why, I mean, you go back to Frank Coor. They love players that are from the area. And it still makes me wonder because they're probably going to have Camargo at third base. Mm-hmm. There's a third baseman in the AL East that is on the last year of his deal that played at Auburn. And if the Blue Jays are out, they could trade him away for what they're looking for with the Blue Jays, and the Blue Jays need pitching.
That would be great.
You see what I'm saying? I mean, see what I'm talking about. And again,
we're talking about Josh Donaldson,
yes,
by the
exactly.
way.
I mean, look, I thought that the Braves should have went out for Mike Moustakas just because, again, you're talking about a 25-30 home run hitter. You're in that ballpark where the ball flies very well, but he ends up re-signing with the Royals. So again, you're looking at the potential of you guys having a lot of money next year. If you're in contention with a good home run hitter that you can put behind Freeman and you can put behind Acuna, I mean, that's a solid bat. And I'm just saying that would be a potential spot where they don't have anybody there as of right now.
I'm going to say you guys are going to finish second in the NL East.
It wouldn't shock
behind
me.
Washington, obviously. Washington's a funny team because, yeah, they're loaded, but this is another club that just cannot get over the hump. They have not made it to an NLCS yet. They always make it to the first round, and they always blow it somehow. I mean, they had it against the Cubs, and then they brought in Max Scherzer out of the bullpen, and then all of a sudden he forgot how to pitch in one big game. But that's a team to watch, and will they be able to retain the services of Bryce Harper?
Yeah.
We shall
see.
Which
I highly doubt.
Yeah.
Well, I highly doubt.
But he's being their guy.
But being that him and Chris Bryant basically hang out on a daily basis in Las Vegas in the offseason, I mean, you want to talk about just the fact that Aaron Judge walked over to somebody and saying something? Chris Bryant and Bryce Harper spent Christmas together.
Yeah.
I mean,
they're Vegas boys, yeah.
I mean, they're tweeting out videos of them like playing charades in their living room together.
I think Bryce Harper, Washington, as good a club as that is, just kind of, I hate saying this, but it's just kind of a characterless club.
Yeah.
I don't know what it is about them. I mean, they have Bryce Harper, but maybe it's just the way baseball is, because we know Bryce wants to be Bryce Harper.
Exactly.
And baseball's like, whoa.
He wants to be
don't
in a bigger market.
Like
I mean, he wants to be in a bigger market than Washington, D.C.
And the Yankees will have a few outfield spots opening up.
Maybe.
So.
I mean, and he could go to New York.
Great. Stanton, Chris, Machado, and Harper.
Who are you a fan of again, Chris?
Yeah, I'm sorry. Rays. The Rays will be all in for Bryce Harper.
Yes, 100%. Yeah. They'll get him. They'll get the new ballpark built. It'll all be around him. There we go.
Yeah, if Harper's going to get his $500 million contract, there's only one team he's going to. And it's not doesn't start with Chicago.
No, it does not. But I did mention opening day, and you've got the season literally is. I mean, it's not even it's what week 2 weeks away. Is that the math?
Yeah.
2 weeks away. So we have the season's going to be kicking off here soon. We're going to figure out who is going to be in with the coming into Montgomery. But again, there's teams inside the Southern League that we need to get used to learning about a lot of their players as well. We're going with the M's today, right?
The M's. Braves.
Yeah, we're going Mississippi Braves, and well, they're the Mobile Bay Bears are only going to be an M for a couple more years, if that. So
yeah, that's the word on the street.
That's the word on the street. Trying to break ground up in Madison. Well, they'll stay an M. Look, it'll be in Madison. There you go. But let's look at the Braves, since we've talked about them a lot today. We've talked about what the Braves could do in the Major League. This is that year where last year that starting five and that pitching rotation from Mississippi was just sick.
It was devastating, and they were all pretty young. I mean, Luis Guajardo was one of those guys. Mike Soroka just turned 20 this year. Colby Allard, another one of those guys. Max Fried. They were all on this team, not to mention Ronald Acuna, but they did not play very well last year for whatever reason. They went just 58-80. They had some trouble scoring runs. That was the ninth best record, so the second worst record in all of the Southern League. The only team that they were better than was Birmingham, and Mississippi actually won only 24 games in the second half, which was the lowest. A couple of guys to look out for in this loaded Atlanta Braves farm system, which is the best in all of baseball. There's a guy named Touki Toussaint.
Oh, nice name.
I believe that's how you say it. Nice right-handed name. Pitcher. We did not see him last year. He was called up after the Biscuits and Embraves got together. Kyle Wright, another guy who probably won't be there. And third baseman, Austin Riley. Guys who are still pretty young, but there's another guy, Christian, is it Pash? You would know better than me.
I believe
Christian
so, yes.
Christian Pash?
Yes.
An outfielder. Ian Anderson, another right-handed pitcher. Joey Wentz, another left-handed pitcher. And Travis DeMeritt was there last year as well. We'll see if he comes back to Mississippi. Another guy in this organization, which I did not know about until earlier today, William Contreras, Wilson Contreras' younger brother, is in the Braves organization. He played with rookie class Danville last year. He's their number 18 prospect. Probably won't be in Mississippi this year, but something to look out for. And for all you Atlanta Braves fans, Mississippi will come to Montgomery for the only time this season, from July 18th to the 22nd, so get your tickets now, and the Biscuits go there to Mississippi if you want to join us on the road from June 3rd to the 7th.
Here's what's bad about this is all of these players that you've named, because of the way the Braves are working the minor league system now, a lot of these guys could start here, and then they're going to be up in Gwinnett pretty soon, or they may even be up in Atlanta. I mean, again, look at Acuna with the way. I mean, he was only up when I mean, he didn't even make the trip to Montgomery when they played, because he'd already moved through, hadn't he?
Well, that was before he was called up.
Okay, see, that's what I'm saying.
We played him earlier in the year, and then he came to Mississippi, and I think we were there in July or something, and saw him for five games, and then right after that he went up.
I mean,
it's a meteoric rise.
Austin Riley is another one that's that he's again. We've talked about the Josh Donaldson and potentially that trade that I was looking for, would love to have.
Yeah.
But Austin Riley is a coveted third baseman that the Braves have in the minor league system. And he played a lot in spring training with the parent club.
Yeah.
And they just sent him down to the minor league camp, which I don't really know what happens at the minor league camp. I don't know if you like.
No one does.
You know what I'm saying? No. Like, I don't really know.
They just use smaller gloves and bats.
That's
and
it. They just exactly. They just make everything difficult, and you're playing on a high school field instead of playing on an adult field. That's what it is. But, I mean, it's we don't know by the time. Did you say July is when they're coming?
July 18th yeah. to 22nd. Mississippi will be here to play the Biscuits.
This yeah. team could be totally different by then.
Could be totally different. Yeah. And like you said, the way that Atlanta runs the organization, I mean, this is the same club that told Dansby Swanson when he was in Mississippi, no, we're not calling him up no matter what.
Yeah.
And then they called him up
and then,
no matter what.
Guess what? It's Dansby Day.
Right. Exactly.
Everybody. And so Acuna. You yeah. I mean, Acuna, you know, I mean, he's, yeah.
This team's loaded, though. Again, number one farm system in all of baseball. And if you're an Atlanta Braves fan living in the Montgomery River region area, you have no excuse not to come out to the park
oh,
and see these
not.
Guys.
No,
see the
absolutely
future
not.
Braves.
And then the other team, the Mobile team, again, I make fun because, again, everybody I know in North Alabama is happy because they are going to be moving there. But with this team this year, what are you expecting from them real fast?
They're affiliated with the Los Angeles Angels. It's not the Los Angeles Angels of Anaheim anymore, as I thought. That
Wait,
was,
did they change it again?
They
God,
exactly.
Man.
So from 2005 to 2015, they were the Los Angeles Angels of Anaheim. And then apparently in 2016... they shortened it, and now they're just the Los Angeles Angels.
Make up your minds.
So there you go. But this is a farm system that's kind of middle of the pack. They had a lot of really solid prospects that came up towards the end of the year, and that's when the Biscuits played them for the first time. Guys like first baseman Matt Theiss, catching prospect Taylor Ward, and outfielder Brennan Lund. They'll all likely be back at the beginning of the year. And Mobile comes to town April 26th to the 30th. So they're going to be pretty good. They were a lot better in the second half than in the first half of the year. They finished 64-75 overall. They're going to be managed by Lou Marson, who's a former Major League mm-hmm. backup catcher. Mississippi's going to be managed by Chris Maloney, by the way. But I don't know about the Bay Bears. They're okay most
yeah.
of the time. That's a rough stadium to visit as well.
And there's a reason why.
Yes,
I mean,
again, the suites, if you've never been there, the suites are on the bottom, and the seats are on the top.
Yes.
It's very strange, and you almost can't picture it in your head. You almost have to go down to the stadium. And actually, it is worth checking out because Hank Aaron's boyhood home is right there.
Oh, really?
So you check that out. Yeah.
I drove past it last year when the wife and I were going down to the pier to get on our honeymoon, going to a cruise.
There you go.
So I passed it, and I'm like, oh, there's Hank Aaron Stadium. Again, the 100 Things You Want to Do Before You Die book that I told y'all about a few weeks ago, this one is in there. Going and seeing Hank Aaron Stadium is there.
Well, go yeah, see it then, so. Man. And it might be one of the last games at that stadium.
Yeah.
As you said, the building going on in Madison, who knows what's going to happen with that. But love this town. Love Mobile. Anytime I can get a chance to go down there. And the Biscuits actually end the season there. So that'll be the first time that they visit Mobile all season. And the last series of the year, August 30th to September 3rd, down in Bay Bear country. And that's actually where the Biscuits clinched a playoff berth in 2015.
Sweet.
In the second half.
Two things, because we hit on a little while ago. We went around Major League Baseball talking about those teams and talking about all the different divisions. And at the end, Chris is like, hey, we need to make predictions. So now that we've previewed everything and we're talking about predictions, who do you guys actually see playing in the World Series before the season starts in about 5 days?
Well, if you look at recent history in the four major sports, you see a lot of repeats, right?
Yeah.
You see the Cavs and the Warriors repeating. You see the Red Wings and the Penguins repeating.
Yeah,
I'm going to take a page out of that book. I do think it's going to be Astros-Dodgers again,
yeah.
and I think that the Astros will win it again. So very boring pick. I think the Astros take down the Yankees in the ALCS, as they did last year. The Yankees will be better, and it'll probably go seven again. But I just think the Astros... they have the same team that won the World Series last year, but they added Gerrit Cole. So now you have Justin Verlander, Dallas Keuchel, and Gerrit Cole. Those are your top three. I don't see a better top three in any rotation in baseball. So I got Astros, Dodgers, and Dodgers will probably take down, will say the Nationals in the NLCS.
Maybe God, you just want to break Washington's heart, just all
yeah,
around.
Yeah, but hey, but I haven't getting past the DS.
They actually won a division. Yeah. They wanted a round. Yes.
How about you guys?
If I'm betting, if I'm actually putting money down, I'm probably doing the same thing. I might take the Dodgers over the Astros.
Nice.
But yeah, those are the two best teams in Major League Baseball. But I like to be different with my predictions, so I'm going out on a limb. I don't know why. Maybe it's David in our press box, but I just feel like the Twins, this is their year where they make a run.
Wow.
And
look at this.
They come out of it.
You talk about a bold prediction.
Come in as a wild card. They can get through the Yankees, get through the Astros, make it to the World Series. National League, again, it's hard to kind of find that sleeper pick, but I agree with you. It'll probably be Dodgers over Nationals. Mm-hmm. Cubs still have a really good shot to make it,
yes.
But for my official prediction, I will take Dodgers over Twins.
Wow.
I know,
love
right?
It. Love
Dodgers
it.
Dodgers over Twins. Wow.
Jake Odorizzi against Clayton Kershaw, game one.
Stellar television right there.
What about you, huh?
God. See, that was what sucks is you got a really creative one. Again, you know, with the Twins being
I am
being
so against
there.
Clichés.
No,
just,
I know.
Just who I am.
I'm just preparing myself for when we play this back in October.
Back
and
in October?
56
yes.
games.
And we have it.
Exactly.
And the Dodgers have had four injuries to all their starting pitching,
right.
And they have their double-A team up to pitch for them because they don't have anybody. And the Giants are playing in the World Series. No, here's where I go with it is most of the time you want to go with best off. Like if you think about it, most times it's best offense is going to get you there. So, and if you look at best offense and you think Yankees because of
sure.
the power that they're going to have, the small stadium that they play in. But and at some point in time, because you are the Yankees, you're going to go out and find pitching. Look at what they did last year with Sonny Gray. They've got a great bullpen. It's now going to be making sure that the starting pitching is good and that CC Sabathia is actually going to, you know, stay healthy.
Remember, this team took the Astros to Game 7 of the ALCS
absolutely.
Without Giancarlo Stanton.
Exactly.
They were up 3-2 going back to Houston, and they just could not win.
They couldn't.
They were right there. They were right on the doorstep.
And you've got Aaron Boone, which, again, is the whole big problem with them is the fact that you have a previous manager that couldn't speak the language of the youngsters, which is the only reason why he was let go. So I, as sad as it says, I think the Yankees will be playing in the World Series just because I think that the power is going to be there and that they are going to eventually trade for starting pitching that can help them out at some point in time. National League, I don't want to say Dodgers. I feel like the Dodgers are going to be the team just because they have. Now, if it's a Yankees-Dodgers World Series, that would be amazing.
Yeah,
that
great,
seriously
great
would be amazing.
For Fox Sports
as
well.
I mean, it's exactly right.
You say it's sad to say the Yankees, though, but this is the year that I think the Yankee hate stops because they're going to be so much fun to watch.
Well,
like I grew up like, oh, I hate the Yankees. But like, seriously, you're going to have 150 homers between three guys.
This,
like, I want to watch their
look,
every single game.
I did. I hated the Yankees. I've always hated the Yankees, but at the exact same time, this year, they've done it the right way. They brought so many guys up through the minor leagues. The Stanton trade was because it was Stanton, you know, and you had to go make that deal. You got Sonny Gray because they were basically offering you crap for him. You're like, okay, he's going to be like the fourth starters, which we talked about a little while ago.
Behind Luis Severino, arguably the best right-handed pitcher in the American League. Then you've got Masahiro Tanaka, who had an off year last year, but in the playoffs was lights out. And then CC Sabathia, who's coming back for his 35th season.
If it's not Yankees, I really do think that the Red Sox, because of the pitching staff, they have a great pitching staff.
You don't love Houston, do you?
No, it's not that I don't love Houston at all. It's just that I want to see what they can do when they're not these young guys anymore, when they're going into Yankee Stadium and they're actually hated.
Let's hope the rivalry comes back.
I just don't think the Yankee hate's going to be there. Again, like the Giancarlo Stanton, it wasn't A-Rod. You know, he didn't like leave to go get a huge contract. This is somewhere everyone knew Stanton was going away. I think Stanton's going to be loved throughout Major League Baseball and all the fans. Like, you can't not like Giancarlo Stanton.
Again, I wanted to try to plan my trip to go watch the Yankees play. So I hate the Yankees. But again, with the Red Sox, with you having Chris Sale as your ace on that team, with David Price, eventually hope that he could be better. And again, Kimbrel's the best closer in baseball outside of Chapman. So I mean, you're talking about if you can get it to the ninth inning, it's ball game. It's done.
Unless Stanton, Judge, and Sanchez are up.
Which would be, how great would that be? Okay, because again, we know every single Yankees-Red Sox game is going to be on television. Kimbrel's coming in the ninth, in Fenway, and then you've got those three is going
to
be due up in the inning.
I mean, this
Didi Gregorius
has
started the inning in second base because of extra innings.
That's right.
This has to be good for the rivalry, though. I mean, the fact that these two teams are as loaded as they are, there just needs to be some some bad blood. Like, something needs to happen.
Yeah.
Because everyone's a little too nice these
days. I almost
days.
Feel like the Red Sox now are more hated than what the Yankees are because
sure.
of the fact that they did. They got J.D. Martinez. They traded away from him. You've got Mookie Betts, which is an MVP caliber player, but you also have Chris Sale, which basically is like the Randy Johnson of the 2018, because whenever he throws, you're basically getting the ball at about 56 feet
right.
away from you instead
with,
of 60
with the
feet.
Bad blood, who on the Red Sox is going to charge when you got Stanton, Judge, and Sanchez there? Like, well, hey, you going to throw a punch?
Right.
No, you're not. Go back to the dugout.
I don't think it's going
to
be Dustin Pedroia. Yeah.
The Giants linebacking core over in New Jersey's going, oh, those guys are big.
Yeah.
Those guys are big. Yeah, we got them.
Hey, I'm Brock Holt.
Excuse me, sir. I'm Hanley Ramirez.
All right, so Joe, what's your pick?
Okay, sorry about that. I'm going to say Yankees-Dodgers. I'll say Yankees-Dodgers.
Nice.
Yeah. Okay. Why not go cliche on that?
I like that.